A reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the keepers to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades. When people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. The word of the Lord.
A reading from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Greet Erastus. Erastus, he stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best. Get here before winter. Eubulus greets you. So do Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Now this morning, I need help again. I need some assistance in passing out some things. So I'd like three younger persons to come forward. Three who would like to help me. Realize that I need help. Three. Don't care who you are. One, two, three. Okay, the three of you. Now, I'm going to ask the three of you. Do any of you have a grandparent here? Do you have a grandparent here? No? No. Don't know. Don't know if grandpa and grandma are here. We better check out. Okay, grandpa and grandmas, come up. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, those who are examples. You should jump to your feet. All right, now we need one more set of grandpas and grandmas. Can you pick some? If you know a grandpa and grandma out there, go pick them. You pick one. Pick any grandpa and grandma out there if you think they're a grandpa and grandma. You're also young looking. Don't know any? Should I pick one? Okay. Arliss? You said Arliss, right? Should we pick Arliss? And Wes? Okay. Now, I did, yes. But I need help. And one of the reasons I wanted to have different age groups is because we just talked about the covenant. And it goes from generation to generation. So we got an older generation and a younger generation. And we do the work of God together, older and younger. And so I'm going to ask this 3, 5, 7 of you to pass these out to everybody. All right? There's a bunch of buckets or baskets here. And if you will pass them out all over the congregation, all right? And then when you get back, you can get one yourself. Just go all over. You can take offerings too. Well, I only have one more, so you're going to have to argue over it. Sorry, Wes. You just help. Wes, I call you Wes. Les, I'm sorry. Okay. Now, some of you will have a choice. These are all tape measures, and there's a few that are unlike the others. Those are the ones that fold up rather than roll up. So if you prefer a fold up, that's fine. There's a few of those. And we're going to be using these during the service. Now, yes, they do work. They do work. And but they only go 3 feet, so, you know, just be limited. Don't overdo it. So as they get passed out this morning, keep them available, and we'll put those to use so that you kind of remember this message. You know, periodically I hand out things, as you know, in order to hopefully remember what a message was. And I was going to say to you, Miss Bev, this morning, I was going to say, you know, you should have brought the flashlights. And you could have said, use them, but I didn't think of it. But, okay, there's one basket empty. Did you get one for yourself? Okay, just a minute, you got to have one. If we run out, I do have some in the office yet. How are we doing? Oh, there's a bunch there. Okay, yeah, we got some. So I'll know this morning if you start getting bored, I'll hear this. And that means, okay, Dykeman, get on with it. Get it done. Amen. Okay, as we proceed this morning, we've read two passages of Scripture. Did y'all get one, by the way? Anybody not? Oh, okay, y'all got one. Okay, we got enough for everybody. We read two passages of Scripture this morning, and these passages were taken, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And they're two old men speaking at the end of their life. They're both old men. They're both speaking at the close of their life. It's about over. And the one we know is Solomon. Solomon, we know he was a child raised with a silver spoon in one hand, a gold fork in the other hand, rich as could be because his dad was a king. Solomon himself became a king. He lived as king for 40 years. He had everything under the sun. He was rich and he had it all. On the other hand, we have the Apostle Paul, who was also at the end of his life. And the Apostle Paul is in an opposite situation from Solomon. Paul is living underground. He's in a hole under the streets in the city of Rome in what's called a dungeon or a cell. There he's chained to a wall as a prisoner. He is anticipating his death. And so he writes to Timothy some final words of instruction to a young man. Solomon writes, having looked back on his whole life as it comes to an end, and he writes some things that he has learned and he wants people to remember. And we're going to compare them briefly, and then we're going to learn some things for us as we go through life. So as we look at these two, I want to call attention first to what Paul says to Timothy. Now remember, it's at the end of the letter, at the end of his life, and he says in verse let's see, verse 21. Do your best to get here before winter. Do your best, get here where I am before winter. Now, Paul had left Timothy in Ephesus. And Paul is in Rome, in the prison. And Paul is saying to Timothy, I want you to come and visit me. But you got to make effort to get here before winter. Because he's expecting that Timothy, if he's going to come, will take a ship. And the ship will go from Ephesus, way down around the boot, and up the side of Italy, and you come to Rome. And he says to him, but you got to do it before winter. Because Paul knows that the sea is not a place to travel in the wintertime. The winter months, the storms are terrible. So get it done before winter, or you won't get it done. I don't know if many of you, well, you live in Iowa, so you know sometimes, you know, you get it done before the snowstorm comes. Right? Or if you don't, it's too late. Aaron's father, and his wife, lived on an island in the Straits of Mackinac, between the upper and the lower peninsulas of Michigan. And in the straits, there was an island called Bois Blanc, or they call it Boisy Blanc. And that island, the only way you could access the island is to ride a ferry from Plonk Ferry. And in Sheboygan, Michigan, it's a 5-mile ferry ride across the straits to the island. And if we were saying to his father, her father, we're going to come and visit you this year, he would say to us, you better be here before Thanksgiving. Because after Thanksgiving, in December, the 1st of December, the ferry doesn't run anymore. There's no schedule for a ferry. If you come after that, you're stuck. You won't get off the island until spring. So we understand what Paul is saying. He says, do it before winter. If you want to do it before winter. Now, there are things in life like that that we have to be reminded of. There are some things, if you really want to do them, you better do it before winter. Before it's too late. Because you see, in Paul's situation, he's an old man, he's condemned to die, and he anticipates his death. He doesn't expect he'll make it until spring. All you have to do is go back earlier in chapter 4, and there he tells Timothy, he's writing, he said, I expect to die. My life is about to be poured out. It's over. Get here quickly. You sense the urgency in what he's saying. Get here before it's too late. You know, some things you need to do now. Some things cannot wait. He says it twice, do your best. You got to try for this. You got to try really, really hard. You see, folks, there are some things we got to do before it's too late. Solomon, on the other hand, now, he's come to the end of his life. He's an elderly man, and he's saying, what have I learned? He says, I've learned that everything is meaningless. Meaning all that I invested my life in was wasted. And so he says, at the beginning of chapter 12, he says, in the days of your youth, remember God. Don't wait like I did. Don't wait. Do it when you're young. Remember God when you're young, when you still can. Because as he talks in the passage which Aaron read, he describes himself as an old man. And if you paid attention, it's poetry, yes. But it's the poetry that says when the grinders don't work anymore, grinders are teeth. You know, when your grinders are falling out. And some of us can't remember where we laid our grinders. I even heard of somebody the other day picking up the wrong grinders, and he couldn't figure out why they didn't fit. That's false teeth, for those of you who are too young to know, it's false teeth. He talks about that. He says, when you can't see anymore, when your eyelids, you can't see, you've got cataracts on your eyes, you can't see clearly, do it before the cataracts form. Do it before you get afraid of climbing on heights like me. A couple years ago, I came off the motorhome roof, and I said, that's it. I'm never going up there again. Never. I'll pay somebody $200 to wash the thing. But I'm not climbing up there again. Why? Because I'm getting too old to climb up on top of the roof. See, there are some things you got to do now when you can. And that means sometimes you got to stretch yourself in ways you didn't expect. Like, you're too old to climb on the roof. Now, that was a stretch for me to admit. I didn't want to admit that. There are lots of things in life that we have to stretch ourselves to do. And remember God when you're young, before it's nearly too late, like Solomon said, when the seasons have passed and you have very little. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Then the Apostle Paul comes and he says, again, come before winter and do your best to get here. Don't just play at it. Do your best. It has to be done now. Is there anything in your life that needs to be done now? Because you might not be able to do it tomorrow. How is your relationship with God? Are you waiting till tomorrow to develop it, make it mature? You may not have tomorrow. So we ask ourselves, what am I really investing in? Where am I putting my emphasis? Your relationship with God, you know, is one that's eternal. It will never end. You invest in things in this world and they will come to an end. Some of them will rot, some of them will rust. Some of them will wash away. Some will just deteriorate. And some will be left to your children. You have to be careful what you invest in. Today we witness baptism. Embracing God's covenant and God's promises, which the Scripture clearly says, are for the community of believers, the community of faith. We have parents here. We have grandparents here. Investing. Investing in Brady. That's an investment that'll never wear out. And so to teach Brady at a young age to know he belongs to Jesus Christ, to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Last Sunday we had communion. We came forward to receive the sacrament, and I encouraged you to come with your young children as well and stand together as a family. Standing together, and so a child, a young child, will look up and watch mom and dad take the bread as a believing testimony of their faith in Christ, and take the cup as a testimony of their faith that Christ died for them. And let the children see it so that they too soon will know that Jesus died for them and they'll be able to testify to it. Now see, I happen to believe a young age for communion is appropriate. Because I know children at a young age know who Jesus is. They know what he came to do. And they believe in him and have received him as their Savior. We include children. We include children in baptism, the covenant. Old Testament. And we say it's fulfilled in the New Testament. The Lord's Supper. Why wouldn't they be included if they can believe? So, we promised to do what's important. I'm asking again, are there things in your life that need to be spoken, need to be said, need to be done, that shouldn't be put off? You're never too old, you know, to hear the gospel story again. We sang it this morning. I love to tell the story. I'm going to tell a number of things today, and I use myself as examples just because these are the examples I'm most familiar with. I remember a few years ago when we were still living in Austin, and there was a man who had much older than me, and he had retired. He had worked his entire adult life on the West Coast at a very large corporation. And by his own testimony, he was a man who all of his adult life was ashamed and embarrassed how he lived. He was not a Christian. His wife was a Christian, but he did not treat her appropriately. And when he retired from that big job, he said, "I'll go anywhere you want. I am guilt-ridden. I'll do whatever you want now for the rest of our married life." She said, "I want to move to Austin, Texas." They moved to Austin, Texas. She said, "I'd like you to go to church with me every Sunday." He said, "I'm not a believer, but I will. I'll call him Darwin." And so Darwin started coming to church with his wife. He was not a believer, and we talked about it over and over again. He told me how guilty he was, the overwhelming guilt that he felt for all those years. And then one Sunday morning, we had communion after the morning message. And we had stations across the front like we did here last week. And I was at one station over here serving people the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. After that worship service, I was in the fellowship area. And here comes Darwin. Big guy. He comes to me and he says, "Pastor Tom, I came forward today. I dealt with my guilt, and I'm guiltless today. I took the sacrament." He was in his mid-70s. He came to be guilt-free somewhere in his 70s. It's not too late, but don't wait so long. Because what he then learned was that he had missed out so many years on the wonder of guilt-free living. He missed it. He had just a little bit to enjoy it. And I say this morning, don't wait too long. Come while the Savior is available and calling. If you haven't done so already. You know, we often sing this song, which I happen to love, "Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" You can be today if you haven't been. This is the day. Don't put it off. Also, don't just remember God, remember each other. That was Paul writing to Timothy. Interesting thing, it doesn't say it right here, but in a few verses earlier, Paul says, you know, to come quickly, and he says, "And bring Mark along." Mark was the guy that Paul and Barnabas had this big fight over. Barnabas wanted to take Mark along, and Paul said, "No way, we're not taking him along. He deserted us. No way." And they had a big argument, and they didn't get along. Now, at the end of his life, Paul says, "Bring Mark. He would be of great service and ministry to me." He had made up with Mark. He had solved the problem. He had dealt with it. I'm not going to ask this morning, is there any Mark in your life that you need to deal with? How are you with your sister? How are you doing with your brother? Anything between you and Mom? You and Dad? How about between you, husband and wife? Is there anything that's got to be dealt with that hasn't been? Anything need to be cleaned up? Don't wait till it's too late. Winter comes, and we have less opportunity. I say that to all of us. That's what the writers are saying. Don't wait too long. I remember telling you a story when I was here. I wrote it down. I know I told it to you. I'm going to say it again. See if you even remember it. There were two brothers, and they worked in a hardware store together, and they couldn't get along. They couldn't get along because one day, this brother had sold some product to another person, and he didn't have time to put the $20 bill in the cash register, so he just laid it on the top. And he walked away to do something else, and he came back 3-4 minutes later, and he comes to the cash register, and the $20 bill is gone. And he says to his brother, "Hey, did you take that $20 bill?" "Oh, I didn't take it." "Come on, I laid it there. You must have. There's nobody else in the store. You took that." And they had an argument. And this time, instead of being stretched, they were pulled apart. One on one end and one on the other, arguing back and forth. The argument got so bad that the brothers couldn't get along, and they got a bucket of yellow paint that was in the store, and they made a yellow line all the way down the store, right in the middle of it. Half to brother A, half to brother B, and they never crossed it. 25 years that line was down the middle, and neither crossed the other. They didn't talk to each other. After 25 years, one day, a man probably 45, 50 years old came walking into the store. And he said, "I have a debt to pay and a confession to make." "Well, what's that?" 25 years ago, I got off the bus here in town. I had nothing. I'm homeless. I have nothing, no money to buy anything to eat. And I came into the store, and there was nobody around. And there was a $20 bill laying on the cash register. And so I took it. I've come back today to pay my debt and to say I'm sorry." 25 years of brotherly separation, pulled apart. Can you imagine what they missed in those 25 years? How many family gatherings did they miss? How many times did they not sit together at Thanksgiving meal because they couldn't get along? How many cousins' parties were not attended because the two families can't get along and you can't play with that uncle's children and you can't play with those? 25 years lost. And so I'm asking you this morning, is there anything between you and a sister or a brother, a mother, a father, a neighbor, an old friend that you need to solve today? Do it before winter comes. Because when winter comes, you don't have an opportunity anymore. And in order to deal with that, you got to stretch yourself. You're going to have to say, "I'm sorry. Forgive me." That's a stretch for most of us. But do your best to do it before winter. Anybody in your life need building up while you still have time to build them up? You know, winter comes and you can't build anybody up either. 55 years ago, this month, very close to this day, I sat under a maple tree in my backyard with my dying father. We sat under that tree, and he said, "Tom, I'll never see you graduate from seminary. I will not hear you preach. I'll never hear you preach. I'll never meet your grandchildren, my grandchildren, your children. I won't be here for any of that. But I want you to know that I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you." That has carried a blessing for 55 years. I have not forgotten it. My father told me, "I'm proud of you." Is there anybody you need to say, "I'm proud of you"? Anybody need to hear a word of encouragement from you? Those words carry a long time. We got some blessings when we came to Pella this year. First Sunday back in this building, one of the members of this congregation came up to me and said, "You remember you visited me in the hospital and you gave me a cross. I want you to know, Pastor Tom, that I have had that cross with me ever since. And every night when I go to bed, that cross is in my hand and I fall asleep praying with the cross you gave me. Now she was saying to me, you blessed me. But I'm telling you today, she blessed me. She's telling me that made a difference, and that makes it worthwhile. It makes a difference. A few short words. Just a few. There are so many like that. Of course there are. When a great-grandfather comes to baptisms, 17, that's an encouraging word. It'll never be forgotten. And I'm sure, Lance, you'll tell little Brady, Grandpa, great-grandpa was there. That'll be a blessing. See, it makes a difference if you attend a softball game, a recital. It makes a difference. If you hear somebody play the trombone and they know you heard. I think I've told you the story before that when I went through a divorce 30 years ago, there was a man who came beside me and he called me on the phone or visited me or had lunch with me almost every day for 1 year, one consecutive year. That has made a difference to me. He'd just call and say, how you doing? That's all. I'm praying for you, brother. Is there somebody who needs a call from you? Who needs to hear your voice? Is somebody who needs to hear you say, I love you? I'm sorry. What can I do for you? Can I help you? There comes a season when you can no longer harvest. There's a season to bear fruit. You know, one of the blessings of being in Pella, Iowa, my ears have turned yellow. Can you see it? I have eaten so much sweet corn. And Aaron will vouch for it. We really thought maybe it's dangerous. I mean, some days, three times a day, is the truth. Love Iowa sweet corn. Oh, my. And I've learned, though, you know, the reason why we ate so much of it, Aaron was smarter than me. The reason I ate so much of it is because there's only a short season of it. And then it's gone. I got as much as I could before the season was over. You know, there's a season for bearing fruit, and there's a season for healing wounds, and there's a season for being a healer and a forgiver, and then it's done. It's a short season. It's not very long. Do it before winter. Do it while you can. Seize the opportunity. Stretch yourself. One more story for me and Aaron. You know, sometimes you got to get to that point in life where you're going to step out of your comfort zone to do what you believe God calls you to do. We have a friend in Pennsylvania who's from Sierra Leone in Liberia. It's 20 miles from where Brenda was. I guess she's in the air. 20 miles away. His name is John Wah. And John has been after me to go to Sierra Leone to be a teacher in a ministry that he has developed. Folks, that's out of my comfort zone. That is out of my comfort zone. And so we said, let's pray about it. Stretch yourself, Tom. Week and a half ago, I said, yes, John, we'll go to Sierra Leone with you in January to teach. It's a stretch. But you know, there's only a short season. I may not have next season. And the same is true for you. While you have opportunity to bear fruit, do it. Ask God even if you need to be stretched. Let Him stretch you. Remember what we said last week. Don't be afraid of failure. How you respond to the giver of your treasures tells you about how you view him. I mean, how you view him tells you how you're going to respond to him. If I view him as one who's trying to get me, I won't go. If it's one who's trying to catch me and find fault, I won't go. But I know he's one. The giver is one who's given me time and energy and resources, and he wants to enter into something dynamic with me. And I trust him. And I'll go. And I'm saying that only as an example, because I believe he says the same thing to you. You're no different. As long as you understand, there's a sense of urgency about it. Excuses don't cut it. There's urgency in it. Remember that little song? It's based on the Bible story about the invitation to the wedding banquet. And you're all invited to the wedding banquet. And now, you know, it's time to come. And the reminder was given, oh, you've been invited. Oh, please hold me excused. I cannot come. I just married me a wife. I can't come. To another one. Oh, the wedding banquet is ready. Come on, would you please come? Oh, please hold me excused. I cannot come. I bought me a cow. I just can't come. And to the third one, the wedding feast is prepared for you. Come. Your table is set. Everything is ready. Come. Oh, please, hold me excused. I cannot come. I just bought me a field. I cannot come. And the wedding banquet was closed to them because they did not come. They didn't seize the opportunity when it was right there. And I share that with you as well. Opportunities come and they go. Will you seize the opportunities before you? Solomon, rich, successful, lived the high life, had it all, tried it all, and he died a grumpy old man saying, what I learned is this, that it's all meaningless, so don't fall into the trap that I did. And then you have the Apostle Paul coming to the end of his life, confined, a prisoner, chained to a wall, down in a dungeon, having nothing at all, knowing his death is impending, and yet he possesses everything, and he invites the young Timothy, come and visit me quickly before I pass. And he tells us earlier in chapter 4, I'm ready to pass. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord himself will give me and all those who look for his appearing. Seize the moment, seize the opportunity that the crown may be yours too. We pray together. Father God, we thank you for this morning together. We thank you for the reminders of what it is to be loved and be loved, to be the bride of Christ. And as we go forward, we pray that we will seize the moment and the opportunities you lay before us, that we may indeed respond as followers of Jesus Christ, that we may be courageous in following, that you can stretch us out, O God, stretch us so that we can walk in faith. Now we ask, oh God, that you receive our blessing, your blessing. We pray that you would bless the celebration tonight, the gladness and joy that will be ours in this place. Bless all who come. Prepare us, oh God, to meet you through music and song. These things we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.